Well, please turn back to 1 John and chapter 4, and we're going to be thinking particularly about verse 14 this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. Now, the Apostle John wrote this letter because he wanted his readers to be sure. Sure of what, you might wonder. Well, at least three things. Firstly, he wanted them to be sure of God's love towards them. And maybe by extension I should be saying, he wanted us to be sure of God's love towards us. And then, John wanted us to be sure that Jesus is God's unique Son. He's the only Saviour from sin. There's no other Saviour that can ever be known in the world but Jesus Christ, our Lord. So John wanted us to be sure of that. And he also wanted us to be sure of something else. For each of us, individually, personally, to examine ourselves to see whether we are children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted us to be sure that we are saved. So there's three wonderful things for which John wrote this letter. That we know the love of God towards us, that we know Jesus is God's unique Son and Saviour, and that we ourselves can be sure that we are saved through Jesus Christ and have eternal life through him. So John's desire is that we should, with good reason, know for sure that we have eternal life in Christ. So if that's the reason why he wrote his letter, then how about you? Do you know that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life? Do you know that you are a child of God? Well, I hope and pray that every one of you do, but I won't take it for granted that that's the case, because we need to be challenged and encouraged to examine ourselves, don't we? To search our hearts under the Word of God and to receive by faith the promises of God's Word. And maybe you'll be receiving by faith the promises of God's Word for the 10,000th time or more this morning. But maybe it'll be for the very first time. And in a sense, I don't mind which, just as long as you do receive by faith the promises of God's Word. And you can walk out of that door this morning saying, Jesus is my Saviour. And I know that when I die, I will go to be with him in glory. John himself is an eyewitness of the life and the ministry of Jesus, including his death on the cross and the reality of the Lord's resurrection. And so when John opens his letter, he emphasizes those great facts that he's seen Jesus with his eyes. He's touched him with his hands. And as we come to our text here, chapter 4, verse 14, he again speaks of what he has seen and testifies about. Look at the verse there. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son, the Saviour of the world. And this is a sure and certain truth that he's setting before us. And so let's see what this truth means for us this morning. Firstly then, we see that the Father has sent his Son because he loves us. The Father has sent his Son because he loves us. Look again at our text, verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. But what motivated God the Father to send his Son into the world? Why did he do it? Well, it was his love. And John has already told us that twice. Verse 9, he says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. So there it is. God is love, but he's manifested, he's shown it, he's revealed it to us by sending his Son into the world. And verse 10 carries on with the same theme. It says, He, that is God the Father, loved us and sent his Son. And that's not two different things. That's the second one being the demonstration of the first. So, the Father sent his Son into the world because he loved us. Now, there are many ways that we might show love to our children if we have them, or to our family and friends. If there are birthdays coming round, maybe you send a card or give a gift. This Wednesday, my eldest son will turn 20, and 2 weeks after that, my youngest son will turn 10. So we've got both sons with their birthdays in March, and I bought them presents. And we'll give them a card as well, and we'll make a cake for them. We show them these things because we love them, and you do the same kind of things in your family and among your friends. It's good to show our love in our words. And so I say to my children, not infrequently, I love you, or other sort of words of affection. But imagine that I told my children every day that I loved them, but then, when they were in danger, I did nothing to help. Is it really love? If it's only words, and when it really counts, you don't do anything about it. Well, God's word, the Bible, is full of loving promises, loving words towards us. He brings many comforting words for us in the scriptures. But God has also shown his love in practical and tangible ways. Now, our sin has brought us into great danger. We're under God's righteous anger by nature. We're facing his condemnation. And so in love, he planned to send his Son into the world. And he did so even before the world was made, even before Adam had fallen into sin. God had made the plan of what he would do to rescue us. And at Christmas time, every year, we celebrate that God has sent his Son into the world. That's tangible, isn't it? There was a real baby was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, and that baby was God the Son, sent into the world. Though he was rich beyond all splendor, yet for love's sake became as poor, and he lay in that manger, and he lived among men, and he endured all of the opposition of sinners against himself. It was out of God's love that Christ came into the world. And so if you ever struggle to feel the love of God towards you, and I'll be surprised if you don't from time to time, because our feelings go up and down, and they can be all over the place, then you need to remember these things, these facts. God's love isn't determined by how we feel. His presence doesn't diminish just because we're not feeling his love. Our sense of his presence, our feelings of his love, come and go, they ebb and flow, but the reality of his love is certain, because he has shown it to us in this great, incontrovertible fact that the Father has sent his Son into the world. The Father sent his Son because he loves us. And then secondly, we see that the Father sent his Son to die for us. We need to think more about the purpose for which God sent his Son into the world. Why was God sending his Son into the world? A demonstration of love for us. Well, verse 10 of our chapter actually gives us the fullest explanation in this particular passage. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now John is writing there about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the effects of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the death of Jesus was the unspeakably cruel and evil act of wicked men. They took the pure and holy Son of God and they unjustly condemned him and they subjected him to the most violent and cruel death. But as that death took place, as the Lord Jesus hung on the cross and bled out in great sufferings, there was a great exchange taking place. The sins of God's people were being laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ there upon the cross. And Christ willingly took them upon himself. As the Apostle Paul puts it, Jesus became sin for us. And that's such a profound mystery, isn't it? How can it be that the eternal Son of God, who himself is of purer eyes than to look upon evil, let alone committing any sin, he became sin for us? We sang it, didn't we, in our hymn? In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And so, as Christ was dying there, it wasn't just the physical sufferings, but the wrath of God was being poured upon him. And his soul was bearing that. All of God's anger against our countless sins fell upon Jesus. And he took it there on the cross. Now, a number of years ago, I went to America with my eldest son for a holiday together. And one of the places we visited was the Kennedy Space Center. And it's a really good day out. But I remember seeing, when we were there, one of these capsules that had been up into space in whichever rocket it was. And then it had come back down to Earth again. And you can imagine this little conical thing. You've probably seen pictures. You may have been there and seen it yourself. This conical capsule that had the astronauts inside it. And as they were returning back down to Earth, you know what happens as they come through the atmosphere? It heats up, doesn't it? Because it's travelling so fast. And this heat is building up on the underside of this capsule. And the astronauts would just be roasted alive if it wasn't for all of those tiles, thermal tiles that encase the bottom of this capsule. And you could see they were blackened. There was this thing on display, blackened on the bottom because of the burning heat of re-entry. You see, those tiles there, they took the heat so that the people inside were kept safe. And that's what Christ was doing for us, taking the burning heat of God's wrath. So that all who are in Christ are kept safe. And that's really what propitiation means. It talks about, it's a word that speaks of God's wrath being turned away because it's been borne by another. So we don't bear it. Christ was taking that burning heat of God's wrath. And so it's turned from us onto him and we are safe. And this is the wonder of the cross of Christ. And this shows us how serious our sin is, doesn't it? Because God can't just overlook or ignore our sin. Because he's a God of perfect justice. So he either pours out his righteous anger for our sin upon us, the sinners, or upon a substitute. There's nowhere we can cover up our sin or make up for it through religion or good deeds or whatever it might be. It has to be dealt with in justice because of who God is. And through Jesus' death on the cross, our sin is fully punished, and God's wrath is fully satisfied, and his justice is carried out, and his people are set free. Isn't that the marvel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? No man-made human religion has a message like this. They all say, do this, do this, do this, do that. And maybe if you catch God on a good day, you'll be all right. That's not the gospel. The gospel says Jesus has done it all. It is finished. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. He will take you in and you'll be safe in him. Don't you love the gospel? Do you feel the weight of your sin? But do you see the loveliness of Christ, who brings freedom and hope and forgiveness? If you'll come to him and hide yourself in him. The Father sent his Son to bear our sins, to die for us. And then thirdly, the Father sent the Son to save us. This is developing it on a bit further from what we've just been thinking about. We've talked about the Father sending the Son because he loves us. He sent his Son to die for us. Now we're going to think about how that fully saves us. Because God's love moved him to send his Son into the world, and he bore our sins. He took the punishment we deserve, but it doesn't end there. There's actually more to the gospel even than Christ bearing our sins on the cross. Because he didn't stay dead. He was buried in the tomb, but on the third day he rose again. It gets even better. And Jesus lives so that we might live through him, as it says in verse 9. Now our text brings all of this truth together very clearly and simply. So look back again at verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Saviour of the world. That's a wonderful title, isn't it? It's a title that first appeared back in John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 42. Comes during that incident when the Lord has been speaking to the Samaritan woman by the well. And it's a very surprising thing for her and for the disciples that he was doing that at that time and in that culture. But as the Lord spoke to that woman by the well, he very gently, but with piercing insight, he uncovered her sin to her. And he revealed to her that he is the long-awaited Christ. And as this truth begins to dawn on her, she's quite amazed by it. And she runs back into the town, and she tells everyone about him. And then John records their response to what she said and what they then see. So I'll read John's Gospel, chapter 4, from verse 39 down to verse 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you have said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world." What an amazing truth that dawned upon their minds. And they called him the Saviour of the world. They recognise that he's not only the Saviour of his own Jewish people, which he was. The Samaritans were of mixed heritage, weren't they? Part Jewish, part Gentile, other nations around who they were from. But they recognised that Jesus was the Saviour for them, for those outside the pure bread, shall we say, Jewish people. He was the Saviour of the world. But Jesus' saving work and his saving power extends far beyond even that little corner of the Middle East. He's not just Saviour of the Jewish people and the Samaritans who were part Jewish. He is the Saviour of the world. All nations, all peoples, all cultures, all languages. And so whatever your ethnicity or background or heritage or culture or language may be, only Jesus saves. But he can save. No one else could or did bear the sins of others. Only Jesus. And God's got no backup plan or alternative way of salvation for people who don't really think Jesus is the kind of saviour that they're looking for. No, he is the saviour of the world. He's not a Jewish saviour only. He's not a Western saviour only. He's not a white saviour only. He's the saviour of the world. John says in our text, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. And so I just want to ask you very plainly, have you turned to the one that God sent? Have you actually committed yourself to Jesus Christ? Well, if you have, praise the Lord. Will you also testify that Jesus is the Saviour of the world? Maybe we need to be more open in testifying that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Maybe you even need to testify to that in baptism. Maybe that you've not been baptised yet. I don't know. We need to take seriously that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Now that doesn't mean that he will ultimately save every single person who has lived or is living today. That's not what is being spoken of when these words are being used here in Scripture and similar phrases. But it does mean that he is the only Saviour for the world, and he is the Saviour that the whole world needs. We know that some, sadly many, have and do and will reject him. But that doesn't diminish his status as the Saviour of the world. Because whoever comes to him will find that he will be their Saviour. The Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of Hailsham and of all of East Sussex and of the southeast corner of the UK and the whole of the UK. And of Paris and Berlin and New York and Mumbai and Tehran, Jerusalem. Wherever we go in the world, people need Jesus. Countless millions, even billions of people don't believe that yet. And maybe don't want to know. Or maybe they haven't yet heard. But Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And this truth needs to really take hold of our hearts. Not just for ourselves. Oh, it's got to take hold of our hearts for ourselves, yes. But for those around us. And for the wider world. So that we really think and pray. How can we help to make Christ known in our neighbourhoods? And across this needy world? I love being among you and hearing about your passion for mission and evangelism. Oh, I want to encourage you in that. Pray and support the work of the gospel here and around the world. Because Christ is the Saviour of the world. And God has graciously revealed this Saviour to us and entrusted to us this powerful message of the saving love of God. And we have seen, can you say that? And testify that the Father has sent the Son, the Saviour of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you that you have not left us in darkness and you have not treated us as our sins deserve. But you have shown your love to us with abounding mercy. You have revealed Jesus to us. And Father, I pray that every one of us will fully embrace him and live for him. And that we will see and testify to those around us and across the world that Jesus is the only Saviour. He is the all-sufficient Saviour. He is the Saviour full of grace and truth. Grant it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.